B'siyata d'shamayah, we're going to learn Psachim Daf Nun Gimel. We're going to start from the Mishnah at the bottom of Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. And the Mishnah is continuing with other customs as the theme of this perek, how one has to comply and conform to different minhagim, different customs. Now the halacha is that they would not sell large animals like cows and donkeys to goyim, and there's a number of concerns why they would not do that. And it's primarily because if these animals would be sold to goyim, then we're afraid maybe they're going to lend them to the goyim or hire them to the goyim, and then it will transpire that the animals of a Yisrael are actually in the reshus of a goy. And the problem with that is that a goy is not allowed to do a melacha on Shabbos with an animal of a Yisrael. And this, there's a mitzvah, a chiyuv of shvisas behemtoi, and a person, not only does a person himself have to rest on Shabbos, but so do his animals. And therefore, since if a goy would borrow or hire the animals of Yisrael and work with them on Shabbos, that would be a problem. To avoid that, they would not even sell these animals to a goy. And that's regarding the big animals. The question is, what about the small animals? There's no concern of working with those animals. One doesn't work with sheep and goats. With cows and donkeys, you can work with them. But sheep and goats, for example, the small animals, where there's no such concern, or not much of such a concern, then would they sell those to a goy? Says the Mishnah, Mokim shenoagu limkor behim odaka lenochrim, in those places where it was a custom to sell these small animals to a goy, moichrin, one was allowed to. Mokim sheloyinu agulim kair, in those places where they were machmir, they were stringent, not even to allow selling the smaller animals to a goy, ein moichrin, then one should not sell them. Bechol mokim, and in any place, ein moichrin lehen behim agasa, one's not allowed to sell to a goy a larger animal, as we discussed. Agolim, the calves, or siochim, which are the young donkeys, shleimim, irrespective of whether they are whole, whether they are healthy and well, or shvurim, or if they are maimed and hardly possible to work with them. In any case, one's not allowed to sell them to the goy, since it will get confused with the larger version of these behemagasas, or the unmaimed, the healthy versions of these animals, and that's also. And therefore, the Chachomim said that one's not allowed to sell any behemagasa, any of the larger animals, or the family of the larger animals, to the goy. Rabbi Yehuda matir b'shvura. Rabbi Yehuda says, in the case that the animal is maimed, and we can assume that as soon as the goy buys it, he's going to shecht it, he's going to kill it, and he's not going to keep it for working because he can't work with them, and therefore nobody will see that this animal that formerly belonged to Yisrael is now in the reshus of the goy, and they won't come to sell or lend or hire to the goy their animals. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda said there's no concerns with selling an animal that is shovel, that's broken, that's maimed, to a goy. Ben Basira matir basus. Ben Basira says that since the type of work that one does with a horse is, even if it were done with a Yisrael's animal, it would be less serious than the type of work done with other animals, and therefore he allowed it. And since the Gemara here does not discuss this first part of the Mishnah, and these are topics discussed in other places in Shas, in Shabbos, in Avodah Zarah, and other places, we're not going to go into all the little details of these halachas and the concerns, but We've read the Mishnah with its basic reading. Continues the Mishnah, Mokim shenoad gulechul tzli b'leile psachim. We know that on Seder night, there was a mitzvah in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they would eat a Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach would have to be roasted, as we've learned, and as it says in the Pasuk, you have to eat the Korban Pesach tzli eish, roasted with fire. Now, nowadays, we don't have a Korban Pesach. Are we allowed to eat roasted meat? What should be the concern? The concern might be, and we'll soon see about this in the Gemara, the concern might be we're going to confuse this regular roasted piece of meat that we're eating at our Seder with meat of a korban. We might think that this is a korban. We may even verbalize that this is a korban. And then once, if you verbalize that it's hekdesh, you have a big problem to eat it. And therefore, there was places that the custom was nonetheless not to be concerned, and you were allowed to eat any roasted meat on Seder night. Oichlin, you were allowed to. Mokim shenagu shelo lechol. However, those places where they were concerned and they did not encourage people or they did not allow people to eat any roasted meat, ein oichlin, then we have to conform to that custom and not eat any roasted meat. Says the Gemara, Omer Yehuda Omer Rav. Rav maintained, Osur loy la'odom sheyoymar, a person may not verbalize and say, Bosor zeh, this piece of meat, even if it's already been shechted, lepesach is for Pesach. Lepesach hu. Why? Mipnei shenira kemaktish behema. It looks like he's making this animal hektish. In the event that it's a whole animal and it hasn't been shechted, there's always the risk that what he may have meant, this animal should actually be dedicated and designated to be a korban Pesach. If it's already shechted and you're talking about a slaughtered piece of meat, of course it cannot be made into a korban, but it could be dedicated for the use of korban Pesach, which means it's hektish, it belongs to the Beis HaMikdosh, it's Bedek HaBayis, and its money could be and would be used for Korban Pesach. But either way, it looks as if this piece of meat that you're talking about is being dedicated to Korban Pesach. V'oichel kochim b'chutz. And you can't take an animal which has been dedicated for Korban Pesach and just eat it outside. You're not allowed to use it. It's hektish, it's me'ila, and if it's a real korban, you're not allowed to eat it outside the designated area for eating korbanos. And there's all these issues. So Rav says that one should not say this meat is lePesach, is for Pesach. Omer Rav Papa. Rav Papa said, Dafka Bosor, this whole concern is only regarding meat. Aval Chiti, if you have wheat, Loi, we're not concerned, because even if he says that Chitim Elu, these Chitim, are lePesach, or for Pesach, then we assume that what he means is the mintar lepischa ka'omar, that he's watched it, he's guarded it, that it should stay kosher lepesach, it shouldn't become chometz. Asks the Gemara, Bosor loy? And with regarding meat, is it really true what Rav said, that you're not allowed to say regarding regular meat, this meat is for Pesach? Meisvei, this seems to contradict the Braisa, where we see that such a concern does exist, but not with a regular piece of meat. Only with meat, with an animal, that you're actually preparing it for Pesach meal, or for you're preparing it in exactly the way that you would prepare Korban Pesach. The animal is completely whole, the intestines and insides are just beside it, whilst you're roasting it, it's being roasted, you're doing the whole procedure like a Korban Pesach, that's room for concern. But regular meat, which you're just preparing for the use of Pesach and saying it's Le Pesach, then there's no such concern. And what's this Braisa? The Braisa says, Omer Rabbi Yosi. And this braisa is attributed to Rabbi Yosi. We'll soon see there's a discussion about that. Some will say this braisa is actually attributed to Rabbi Shimon. But at this point, the Gemara says that Rabbi Yosi said as follows. Tudus Ishroimi. Tudus was a prestigious and learned person in Klal Yisrael in Rome. Hinhig es b'nei Roimi lechil gdiim. It was customary. He would make people do is that they would eat the gdiim, the young animals. They would shecht the kids, the goats. They would shecht them mekulosin, completely done like the Korban Pesach. It was roasted whole with the intestines next to it. Beleile Psochim, on the night of Pesach. Sholchuloi nechachomim, sent to Tudus, ilmoli Tudus atef, not that you're such a prestigious person, Tudus ishroimi, gozar no lecho nidui, we would actually excommunicate you for making people do that. She'ato macheles Yisrael kochim b'chutz, because the way that you're preparing this animal is actually, it's like the Korban Pesach, and people are then eating kochim outside the designated area. Asks the Gemara, Kochim Salkadaitach, was he making them eat Kochim? These were not Kochim animals, these were not Korban animals. Says the Gemara, Elo'ema, Koroiv Lahacheles Yisrael Kochim Bachutz. This custom is very similar to what one does with the Korban Pesach, and it's similar to a Korban animal that's then going to be eaten in the wrong place. So what do we see from this braisa? Mekulos in. The whole concern that the Chachomim had against Tudus was because he made it mekulos. It was roasted whole like the Korban Pesach was, Shein Mekulus, but regular meat that is not prepared in exactly the same way a Korban Pesach is, Loi, there's no concern there. So why do you, Rav, say that with any meat you shouldn't say this meat is Le Pesach? Omri, so they answered, it's not a question. Mekulus, if you prepare the meat like you would prepare the Korban Pesach, Lo Yishno Omar, irrespective of whether you verbalized that this animal is Le Pesach, Lo Yishno Loi Omar, irrespective, if you didn't verbalize it, then it's a problem, because it's so similar to what they did with the Korban Pesach. However, She'enei Mekulus, if it's not Mekulus, if it's regular meat that you're preparing for Pesach, Pirush, if you explicitly said this meat is Le Pesach, in, that's when we have the concern. Loi Pirush, but if you didn't verbally express it, Loi, then there's no issue with it. Continues the Gemara, Rav Acha Masni Lo Loho Masnita, Kerub Shimon. Rav Acha actually said that this whole dialogue between Tudus and the Chachomim was not recorded by Rav Yosi, rather by Rav Shimon. And that's something we have to discuss now. Maskif Lo Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes is now going to ask a question about this. And before we learn the next Gemara, let's just introduce the concepts we're going to be speaking about. And we're speaking now, we're going to introduce a Mishnah in Tmura and a Mishnah in Menachas. The Mishnah in Tmura says that if somebody says, Hareze Tmuras Oilo, Tmuras Shlomim. And we're not going now into all the intricate halachas of Tmura, but if somebody says this korban should be in the place of an oila, in the place of a shlomim, and it clearly cannot be in the place of both. So he said, he verbalized two statements, one after the other, and they cannot possibly both be accepted. The question is, do we say that Toifus Loshen Rishon, that we say that we assume that the first thing he said is what he actually meant, and we just disregard anything he said afterwards as being just nonsensical additions? Or do we say no? We have to look at, or do we say that you have to look not only at what he said first, but also at what he said second, and we have to find some way of respecting both statements? And the way to respect both statements would be that this animal has partly the kedusha of an oilo, partly the kedusha of a shlamim, and then you actually can offer it as neither, so you just leave it till it has a mum, and then you can take its money's worth, and with part of the money you'll buy oilo, with part of the money you'll buy shlamim. So it's Reb Meir in that Mishnah in Tmura says, Toifus Loshen Rishon, you always just focus on the first thing he said. Rabbi Yosi in that Mishnah says that you're also Toifus Loshen Achrin, we also have to take seriously the second part of any person's statement. That's the Mishnah in Tmura. Then there's another Mishnah in Menachos. The Mishnah in Menachos says, what happens if a person says, Hare Olai Mincha, I'm committed to bring a Korban Mincha, Minasoirim, from barley. Now we know you can't bring a korban mincha from barley. Korban mincha is brought from wheat, not from barley. So the Tanakhama say that he's chayev to bring a korban, a regular mincha from wheat, even though he said minasoirim from barley. Why? Tanakhama says, Toifus Loshen Rishon. The first words you said are Hare Olai Mincha. I'm committed to bring a mincha. Go bring a mincha, kosher mincha of wheat. You added on Minas Oirim, we just ignore that. However, Reb Shimon argues and says he's potter, he doesn't need to bring any Korban Mincha. Why? So number one, Toifus Loshen Achrin, we also have to respect the second part of his statement. If we only respect the first half of his statement, and he says Hare Olai Mincha, it means a mincha of wheat, and that's it, of course, he's chayev, like the Tanakhama. Reb Shimon says, number one, he also said Soirim. So that's already a reason to say that there's an issue here, because he intended, or he thought, that you could bring a Korban Mincha from Soirim, and that's what he intended to commit himself to. And there is no such thing as a Mincha of Soirim. However, there's always the reason to suspect or to assume that this person really just intended to bring a Korban Mincha. And he intended to actually bring a Korban Mincha, which is a kosher Korban Mincha, which is from Chitim. And just by the way, he added in the words Ta'irim, he thought that wouldn't be an issue. And for that, Reb Shimon says, no. Since he added on these words, it's not just a confused way of saying, I want to bring a kosher mincha of wheat, because that is shaloi kaderech hamakdishim. It's not the normal way of being makdish, of committing yourself to bring a korban in such a funny way, in such a backwards way. And therefore, since we have this second logic that it's shaloi kaderech, it's not the normal way of making an animal hekdash or making a korban hekdash, of making a commitment to bring a korban, you don't say it in this way. Therefore, Reb Shimon says he's completely potter. There's always a third option, which is not brought in the Mishnah there. And the third option would be that he has to bring a korban of chitim, but not because of Toifas Lashon Rishon. No, really, with Toifas Lashon Achron, we look at both parts of his statement. And we just assume that since a person doesn't say things for no reason, then since he also said Harei Olai Mincha, and he also said Mina Sa'irim, he thought you can bring a Korban Mincha from Sa'irim. But his main intention was to bring a Korban Mincha that's kosher. And therefore, even though we also respect the second part of his statement, we understand his intentions to bring a kosher Korban Mincha, and he's going to be chayev to bring a regular kosher Korban Mincha. And that's going to be a third opinion, which is not the Tanakam and not Reb Shimon. We're going to see about that soon. Coming back to our story with our Tudus, where they would take an animal, it's not Hekdash, and they would roast it, and they would roast it in exactly the same way as one would roast a Korban Pesach. So Tudus held it was okay. The Chachamim argued with him, said it was not okay. Now over there, it's clearly not a normal way of making a Korban Pesach by taking an animal and roasting it like one roasted a Korban Pesach. That's not a normal way of making a Korban Pesach. And therefore, according to Reb Shimon, who said that when a person says Harei Olai Mincha Min HaSa'irim, that he says that any type of making something a korban, which is not done in a normal way, is totally disregarded, then in this case also, roasting an animal this way would be totally disregarded, according to Reb Shimon. So we're going to have to now take all the information that we've just learned and understand how we can learn this Gemara. So let's read Rav Sheshes inside. Maskif lo Rav Sheshes. Bishlei meleman de toni lo k'Rabbi Yosi. According to the original way we learned in the Gemara, that it was Rabbi Yosi that told us this dialogue between Tudus and the Chachomim. Nicha. According to Rabbi Yosi, it's okay. We'll soon see why. Elo leman de masni k'Rabbi Shimon. Mi nicha. If you say it was Reb Shimon, here we have a problem. Because if it was Reb Shimon, that means Reb Shimon quoted Tudus as if to say that roasting a Korban Pesach like this is okay. And the Chachomim responded and said, if you were not Tudus, we would excommunicate you, because what you're doing is very similar to making an animal hekdash. And really, before he shechted this animal, he didn't say a word. It wasn't a korban at all. And even if after he shechted it, he tried to make it hekdash, you can't make an animal hekdash after it's been shechted. So the Gemara is saying, according to Reb Shimon, we have a problem. Votnan we learned in that Mishnah, and this is the Mishnah in Menachos that we quoted. Reb Shimon Poiter, in the case where a person says, Harei olai mincha min hasa'irim, then Reb Shimon says, he's potter from bringing any korban mincha. Why? Because since we're also Toifas Lashon Achron, like Rabbi Yosi in the Mishnah in Temura, and since we also take into account Min HaSa'irim, then it would be an unusual way of committing myself to bring a Korban Mincha from Chitin, or any kosher Korban Mincha, which happens to be only from Chitim, by using the terms Min HaSa'irim, by mistake assuming that you can bring a Korban Mincha from barley. And why? Sheloi hisnadev kaderech hamisnadvim. Reb Shimon says that making something, donating something in an unusual way is not considered a commitment, and therefore it's not considered a mincha at all. He's not committed himself to bring a mincha at all. If so, coming back to this case with Tudus, making a korban like this is sheloi kaderech. This is not the way you make an animal hekdash, that you don't verbalize it before you shecht it, after you shecht it. You can't make a Korban Pesach into a Korban Pesach. And since it's an unusual way of making a korban, there's no concern. We just disregard it. And if we just disregard it, what was the issue the Chachomim had with what Tudus did? Omele Ravina le Ravashi. Ravina said to Ravashi, you know what? Granted, according to Reb Shimon, indeed there should not really be an issue with what Todos did. And it must be Reb Yossi. But let's try and understand. According to Reb Yossi, is it any better? Let's see. Ravina says to Ravashi, Umanda Masnilok Reb Yossi Minicha, is it better? V'omar Rava, did Rava not say that Reb Shimon b'shitas Reb Yossi Omra? That Reb Shimon that we mentioned in the Mishnah in Menachos, where it says Hare Olai Mincha Min HaSa'irim. Reb Shimon says he's completely potter. Why is he potter? So number one, because we also respect his second statement, Toifus Loshen Achron, not Toifus Loshen Rishon. Well, who is the author who coined this concept of Toifus Loshen Achron? Let's go to the Mishnah in Tmura that we mentioned, Harezu Tmuras Oilo Tmuras Shlomim. It was Reb Meir who said Toifus Loshen Rishon. Reb Yossi said Toifus Loshen Achron. So this Reb Shimon in Menachis of Hare Olai Mincha Min HaSa'irim is based on Reb Yossi's opinion that Toifus Loshen Achron. V'omar Rava, did Rava not say that Reb Shimon in Menachis is Beshitas Reb Yossi Omra? Is following Reb Yossi in Tmura, the Omar af bigmar dvar of Adam Nitfas. A person is also bound not just by his opening statement, but also by his closing statement. And my love, can we not assume, midi Reb Shimon sova lo ke Reb Yossi, since Reb Shimon holds like Reb Yossi, that Toifus Loshen Achron, and based on that Reb Shimon said not only Toifus Loshen Achron, but also, even if we do hold a person responsible to his final statement, but we're trying to view his overall intentions, and his intention was to bring a regular mincha, which is minachitim from wheat, and Reb Shimon said, but nonetheless, he's still potter because he didn't do it in a usual manner. That's not a normal way of committing oneself to bring a korban mincha by saying mincha min asairim. So can we assume, and the Gemara is assuming, that Reb Yossi agrees with that detail of Reb Shimon? In the same way as Reb Shimon agrees with Reb Yossi's statement that Toifus Loshen Achron, Reb Yossi agrees with Reb Shimon's statement that committing oneself in an unusual way is not considered a commitment. Reb Yossi nami sova loka Reb Shimon. And if Reb Yossi does hold of Reb Shimon that a commitment made in an unusual way is not considered a commitment, then back to Todos Ishraimi. This is not a normal way of making a korban. It should be disregarded. Like Hare Olai Mincha Min HaSa'irim, he's completely potter. Why were the Chachomim concerned with what Todos did? Says the Gemara, Loi, you made a mistake with your assumptions. Reb Shimon sova loka Reb Yossi. Indeed, it's Reb Shimon holds of Reb Yossi's statement in Tmura that Toifus Loshen Achron. V'loi Reb Yossi sova loka Reb Shimon. Reb Yossi does not hold of what Reb Shimon said, that if you commit yourself in a way, there's not a regular way of committing yourself, that it's totally invalid. No, Reb Yossi assumes that when a person says something, he doesn't say it stam, levatola. If a person said something, we take it seriously. We assume that he did intend to commit himself to something. So Reb Yossi will say that in the case of Hare Olai Mincha Min HaSa'irim, then indeed, even though Reb Yossi says Toifus Loshen Achron, as he indeed does in the Mishnah in Tmura, nonetheless, he's going to argue with Reb Shimon. He's going to say that you're chayev to bring a korban mincha minachitim, not for the reason that Tanakama do, who they say only Toifus Loshen Rishon. Reb Yossi can't do that. He holds Toifus Loshen Achron. But Reb Yossi says the reason he's going to be chayev is because eino demotzi dvarim levatola. If a person came forward and said Hare Olai Mincha Min HaSa'irim, even though we recognize and we don't disregard the words Min HaSa'irim, but we take his intentions of wanting to commit himself to a kosher mincha seriously, and therefore he's chayev a mincha. And that is the third opinion in the parasha. It's not the third halachic opinion, it's the same halacha as the Tanakama for a different reason. It's not chayev because Toifus Loshen Rishon, it's chayev because eino demotzi dvarav levatola. And therefore, coming back to our story with Todos, since eino demotzi dvarav levatola, a person doesn't do things stum without meaning or intending to do what he's doing. Therefore, the Chachomim held that what Todos did was a big problem, especially if he verbalizes that he wants it to be a korban. He might do it after it was already shechted. But either way, it might be an unusual way of doing it. Rabbi Yossi argues with the Pshimon and says, even if it's an unusual way of making a korban, it is a certain intention. I wanted to make it a korban. And since it's so similar to korban Pesach, the Chachomim were right in their reservations against what Todos did, and according to Rabbi Yossi, it works out okay. Continues the Gemara, Boyeluhu. They are asked a question. Tudus Ishroimi, this Tudus that the Chachomim were afraid to excommunicate him, Gavra Rabba Hava, was he a learned, prestigious person as we took on? Oibale Greifen Hava, maybe he was just a violent person that the Chachomim were afraid to start with him? Says the Gemara, no, I'm going to bring you two proofs that he was a learned, prestigious person. Number one, Toshima, Oidzu Dorash Tudus Ishroimi. Here we have Tudus Ishroimi, who's actually making a brisa, he's making a drasha. What's he learning? He learned Ma Ro Chananya Mishal Vazaria. We know that Chananya Mishal Vazaria, they were threatened by Nebuchadnezzar either to bow down to what looked like an Avodah Zarah or what seemed like an Avodah Zarah, or to be killed. And they chose to allow themselves to be killed. Shemotzru Atzmon al Kedushas Hashem. They didn't say that the mitzvah of V'chai Bohem, the requirement to stay alive, overrides everything. They said, no, we're going to jump into the fire. They were saved at the end, but they didn't know that at the time. They were committed to giving up their lives, L'kivshon O'esh, into the furnace. Where did they learn this from? Says Todos Ishroimi, Nosu Kal V'chomer Ba'atzmon Mitzvardim. They actually learned to Kal V'chomer from the Tzvardea. Ma Tzvardea, the frogs, the second plague in Mitzrayim. She'ein Metzuvim, the frogs themselves don't have any commandments. There's no mitzvahs. Al Kedushas Hashem, they were not commanded to make a Kiddush Hashem. K'siv Behu, and nonetheless it says regarding them in the Pasuk, it says, V'shorat ha'yo'er tzfardim, the tzfardea, the frogs came out of the Nile, v'olu vo, and they came up, they went, b'veisecha, into the homes, u'b'chadar mishkovcha, in the rooms where they were sleeping, v'al mitosecha, and on the beds, u'b'veis avodecha, and in your slaves, servants' homes, u'v'amecha, and your nation, u'b'tanurecha, and in your ovens, u'b'mish'aroisecha, and in your kneading bowls. Says the Gemara, Emosai Misharois Mitsuis, when would they go into their kneading bowls? When were kneading bowls open and available with dough in? Eitzel Tanur, Hava Oimer B'shosha Tanur Cham. When are the kneading bowls near the Tanurim, near the ovens, when the ovens are hot? So the Pasuk, in the same context that it mentions Misharoisecho, the kneading bowls, it mentions Tanurecho, they went into the ovens. They didn't go into the ovens when the ovens were cold and off. They went into the ovens when the bowls, the kneading bowls, were right next to them and the ovens were boiling hot. So you can see that the frogs, in order to make a Kiddush Hashem, even though they were not commanded to do so, they jumped into the boiling furnaces. Onu, us, says Hanani Mishal Vazaria, Shematzuvin al Kiddushas Hashem, we have a mitzvah to sanctify Hashem's name, Alachas Kamo V'Kamo, even more so, we should give up our lives and jump into the furnace, or be allowed to be thrown into the furnace. And there's many discussions here in the Rishonim, what exactly went on, what did they need to learn from the frogs. But this is the basic reading of the Gemara. So this is one proof that Tudus Ish Roimi was a learned, prestigious person. You see, there's a drasha from him. Rabbi Yossi Bar Ovin Omer. Rabbi Yossi Bar Ovin says that he was a prestigious person, somebody who respected Torah. Why? Because it says that Rabbi Yossi Bar Ovin says about Tudus Ish Roimi that Matil Melai, he would place merchandise Lekis Shel Talmidei Chachomim in the purses of the Talmidei Chachomim. Hoya, that's what he used to do. That means he would give the Talmidei Chachomim what to invest and what to live off, supporting Talmidei Chachomim. D'omer Rabbi Yechanon said, Kol Matil Melai Lekis Talmidei Chachomim, anybody who fills, anyone who places merchandise in the purses, in the possessions of Talmidei Chachomim, Zoicha V'yoshev, is going to merit to sit by Yeshiva Shel Mailo, in the Yeshiva in Shamayim, which is a very prestigious thing. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Ki Betzel HaChochma Betzel HaKesef, in the shelter of wisdom, in the shelter of money. So somebody who invests money to allow Talmidei Chachomim to learn, he's going to be in the shelter of Talmidei Chachomim, of Chochma, of knowledge in the world to come, in that merit. And since Tudus Ishroimi was doing that, he clearly was a prestigious person, and that was the reason that they did not want to excommunicate him. And in Mirat Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue the next Mishnah.